Today I'm continuing in the sermon series called Real Love, and that's taking us through the book of 1 John. If you'd like to turn to 1 John, if you're new to the Bible, it's kind of toward the back of your Bible, way in the back actually. If you hit the book of Revelation, you've gone a little too far, just back up. Or you can tap there on your screen. We'll be in 1 John chapter 3 later on. Have you ever had someone say the right things to you? They expressed things that you appreciated, but then they did something that did not back those words up. In other words, they were the opposite of what they said. Maybe someone told you they cared for you, but then they betrayed you. Someone said they would keep something confidential, but then went and told somebody they shouldn't have told. Someone said they'll always be there for you. If you need help, just call them. And then when you needed the help, they were nowhere around. Maybe someone that made promises to you and then broke those promises. Probably everyone here has experienced that with a family member, maybe a spouse, a friend. Somewhere along the line, you've experienced where the words didn't back up, the actions didn't back up the words someone said to you. So words are great, but when they're not backed up, they're meaningless, they're hollow, they don't mean anything. Now, you may have seen this picture before. It's gone around for years of memes on the internet. If you've never seen it before, you can look at it now. And it's actually a stock photo. It's not a real, you know, it was staged. But people have really grabbed onto the stock photo and had some fun with it. But I think it says a lot. There's a lot being said in that picture. I mean, this guy, could kind of imagine if this was a real situation, all the things he told this girl he's with. I love you. I've never known a woman like you before. I want to spend the rest of my life with you, and on and on and on. You know how people say those things to each other. And then when they're out in public, he gives this to another lady. Today's message is called Real Love Means Taking Action. And you may remember that last week that the two messages, last week's message and this week's message, I said that they went closely together. And last week I stopped at verse 17. And verse 17 connects last week's message with this week's message. So to warm up, let's look at verse 17 again, John 3:17. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? In this section of Scripture, John has been talking about loving others, especially loving those in the body of Christ. And remember this from last week. No one gets to the end of their life and says, you know, I loved too much. I just expressed too much love. I should have backed off. I wasted my time loving people. No one will get to the end of their life and say that. And verse 17 is where John turn to the practical side. He gives us an example. It's not the only example he could give, but this is the example he gave us, and that serves as a transition into our verses today. So John, in this verse, verse 17, is making the point that these two things can't go together. They can't be, because real love means taking action, and that takes us to this week's verses. Mostly, I have been reading from the New Living Translation as we've gone through this, but I want to read from the NIV today too. They bring out different things, and that's a great way of Bible study. You have your favorite version that you're used to. Read it in another version as well. It's really easy to do if you have it on your phone or tablet, or get a paper Bible in a different version, and it brings different things out, makes you think. So today, I'm going to do both of them. The first time, I'll read all the verses in a row so you know where I'm going, and I'll read that from the NLT. And then when we look at the verses one by one, I'll use the NIV. All right, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 in the NLT reads like this. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that please Him. And this is His commandment, We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him, and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us. There's much to glean from only six verses in the Word today. Verse 18 is the key verse. You may have noticed I dropped it in the Thursday update last week, and I put these little cards in your bulletin, and hopefully you could take those home, put them up at school in your locker, somewhere on your desk, take them to work, somewhere around your home. Put this up as a reminder. I hope they're helpful to you and can encourage you this week. So now let's switch to the NIV, get a different read on it. Here's verse 18 again. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. A couple of ideas from this verse, and it is our key verse today, so focus in on this one. We already know that we're supposed to love one another. That's not like new information to anyone here. But John says, well, you can't just talk about it. You can't just, you know, believe in the concept. You can't just say you love one another and nod yes during the sermon or the Sunday school lesson or whatever it is. We have to show it. We have to do it. We can't skimp on love. Again, you're not going to get to the end of your life and say, I just love too much. You can't skimp on love. You can't love too much. It's not possible. The Bible says we can't just use words to love. Words are great. We like to hear them. They're encouraging sometimes. And then, but look at the second idea of the verse. Actions must follow. The NIV says actions and in truth. Actions must follow words or accompany words. And the NLT I read before said, let us show the truth by our actions. Both are good translations, kind of bring a little bit different light on each on this verse. Both versions are saying you cannot separate truth and actions when it comes to loving someone else. Loving people through your actions, it's a good thing. But without the truth, that leads to heresy and getting away from God's plan for your life if you just don't pay attention to the truth. And truth without loving actions leads to haughtiness and us versus them mentality, among other problems. And over the years, and you could probably think of examples too, but over the years, I've known people that are trying and genuinely showing love. They do love people, but they don't know the Word of God, or they don't care what it says, or they ignore at least certain parts of the Word of God when they're wanting to love people. That's not really love. Because people need to hear the truth about what God says for their life in love. So maybe the person feels accepted, they feel loved, and they all the good things. But what good is that if they don't know Jesus? If they don't know the truth of God's word? And that kind of love can actually lead someone to be further away from Jesus, not closer to him. The other side is true as well. Over the years, I've known folks that they know the Bible well. And maybe they know it better than me, and I appreciate that. So they knew the Bible well, but they did nothing. Nothing but talk. Maybe they could point out minute theological details, and maybe they were right about those details. At the same time, never lifting a finger to help someone that's in trouble. Always having the right answers in the class or the discussion, but never living those answers out. At the same time, people in their community are dying and going to hell. They're dying without Jesus and won't have the eternity that you have. While the poor continue to suffer, while those on the margins of society don't have the community like we have here at Bethel. But by golly, they knew their Bible. They knew their Bible verses. They knew their theology well and had it all figured out. And so too bad, so sad for those other people. We cannot be like that ever. Church, we cannot accept that for ourselves. And if you know your Bible well, please understand, I think that's great. We have a biblical literacy problem in the church. And we need to know our Bibles well. We need more Bible knowledge. Now, I think I've heard somebody say, I'm trying to remember how it goes, but it starts out like read the Bible and then do something. And so, see if you can help me remember it. We're supposed to read the Bible and Thank you. You're with me. You're awake this morning. Very good. We read the Bible, and when it says to love others, and this is a command, not a suggestion from God, we read the Bible, when it says to love others, we do it. We don't just talk about it, we do it. Truth and loving actions cannot be separated, or it's either not truth or it's not love. Real love means taking action. Verses 19 and 20 go closer together, so don't look at 19 as a standalone statement. We're going to get to 20 in just a minute. Let's look at 19 for now. This is how we know we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Now hold on to that. You see the colon, right? Hold on. We'll get past the colon in a minute. I've had people ask me over the years in different ways, how do I know I'm saved? How can I know for sure I'm saved? Because I don't feel that way. There's times I don't feel saved. Look, I understand that feeling. Last Tuesday, the outreach committee was meeting at our house, and the outreach committee all the leaders consist of ladies. And so that was a whole lot of estrogen for me. So I went outside. I did some work outside. I didn't need to go out there anyway. We now have a 12-week-old puppy. And if you've ever had a puppy, you know what a 12-week-old puppy is like. And so I took him out there with me. And one of the things I needed to do was to use my leaf blower on the sidewalk and the porch. And so I'm up on the porch doing the thing. This goofy dog is afraid of it. And I understand that the dog's afraid. He's a little bitty guy. He's afraid of the leaf blower. But what he did was he got right in the airflow, like where it was coming out. He'd get in it. I'm like, that's not good. I'd turn, and then he'd come around and get in front of it again. Then I'd turn away and get in front of it again. Every time I turned and he came around, he was pooping on my porch. I've heard of people having the poop scared out of them. I literally scared the poop out of our puppy. And the point of the story is not just to be funny, but I didn't feel very saved in that moment. I took the dog in. I told Diana to put him in puppy jail, and I didn't want to look at him anymore. And I had to clean poop. I didn't feel saved. There was a moment I'm like, I don't even know what salvation is in this second. So I understand when you don't feel saved. That's hard sometimes. I get that. How do you know? So how do you know for sure that you belong to the truth, that your salvation is secure, even when you don't feel it, you don't sense it? And those feelings come and go, don't they? How can you set your heart at rest in his presence, as the NIV puts it here? Well, let's look at the next verse. Here's what comes after the colon. If our hearts condemn us, we know, we don't feel, right? We know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. So if you feel condemnation sometime, you feel, I don't know if I'm saved, maybe I'm just condemned and I'm in big trouble. Maybe that condemnation is coming like from another person. Sometimes somebody says something discouraging to us. Or maybe you struggle with self-condemnation. Sometimes that's really hard. You know, just those thoughts that you can't turn off sometimes. Or maybe the devil is trying to get in your head and put those thoughts in your mind. I don't know how that works in the spiritual world, but it sure seems like he comes after us sometimes. But notice those three examples. None of those sources of condemnation were from God. God does not condemn you if you know Jesus Christ. And the verse says, you may feel a certain way, but God is greater than your heart. God is greater than your feelings. So, my suggestion, step back, take a look at your life, and know that God knows everything you do. Does your life, generally speaking, reflect a person that says they are following Jesus? Now, I'm not just talking about church stuff. You come with the church people on the Sunday morning and the other times we're together. But your life as a whole, no matter who you are with at any given moment. Are you reading the Bible and doing what it says? Are you putting actions to your words? Putting action to what you say you believe? So if you say you're a follower of Jesus, does your general life look that way? Especially when you're not around the church folks. Look at the verse again. We know that God is greater than our hearts, than your heart. He's greater than your feelings. He's greater than any self-condemnation or anyone else that wants to throw condemnation your way. And again, Condemnation never, ever, ever comes from God. If you want to check my math on that, you can look up Romans 8:1 and read that later. Condemnation is not from God. And remember, it's in the verse, God knows everything. And he sees your life. He sees your life as a totality. And if your life is reflecting Jesus, then you know, no matter how you're feeling in a given moment, even with the puppy making you upset or whatever it is, you know you belong to the truth because God knows you. The good actions, now don't get it backwards, the good actions don't save you. They can never save you. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't do enough good stuff to be saved. Only Jesus can save. Only through the free gift of salvation that he offers can you even hope to have any salvations. But the actions, once you have that gift, the actions follow that life dedicated to Jesus. I know no one here lives a perfect life. If the standard was, I have to be perfect no matter what, I'm in trouble too. None of us can achieve perfection on this side of heaven. But God knows your heart. He knows your intentions. Even when you mess up, he knows your heart. And God sees your actions. And he knows, even if no one else knew you did something in Jesus' name, God knows it. And he sees you. Real love means taking action. And don't forget that God knows about that. Verses 21 and 22 are all one sentence in the NIV. So let's take them together. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. This is the next step from verse 20. You get rid of that condemnation, realize it's not coming from God, you reject condemnation, then it will be replaced by the confidence in a relationship with Jesus. And you know that God loves you and you have that relationship with him. Verse 22 says that we will receive anything we ask. Now, some people over the years, decades, a long time, have taken this verse and other verses and taught that you can just name it and keep praying, and if you believe enough, you're going to have the new truck, you're going to have the bigger house, whatever it is. This verse, and nothing in the Bible has anything to do with that. That you just ask something and it'll eventually appear. Like God's a magic genie or a vending machine if you just say the right words. The idea here in this verse is this. When you don't live in condemnation, you refuse, you reject that condemnation, and when your relationship with God is strong and you have confidence in him, not confidence in yourself, but confidence in him, when you are doing what the Bible says to do, the things you ask in Jesus' name will be the things he wanted you to do in the first place. In other words, you're in God's perfect will. When we pray in Jesus' name, it's not just a way to say the prayer is over now or hit the send button to God when we say amen. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are hopefully praying his will and in his will. Then you will see God do things that you've asked for. It's glorious when that happens. Now look again at the last part of the verse. Because we are keeping God's commands. And that pleases God when we keep his commands. That strengthens our relationship with him. And it's all about relationship, not the rules. So we keep his commands. We do what he asks us to do. Real love means taking action. Then verse 23, let's look at that again. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Very simple statement. If a child can understand that statement. And does that statement kind of sound familiar to you? If you know the Bible, if you're new to the Bible, don't feel bad if you don't know what I'm talking about. But in the Bible, Jesus commanded this in several different places. But a guy came to Jesus, and he was an expert in the law, the Bible says, and he asked Jesus, well, I know all these laws. He's talking about the Old Testament laws. I know all the laws, Jesus. Which one's the most important one? And Jesus answered, well, love God and love people. That's what it boils down to. Everything hangs off of that. Every commandment in the Bible is related to loving God and loving people. And I know his answer was longer than that, but I'm summarizing it. To believe in the name of his son, Jesus, and then in turn to love him back by loving other people. Now, as a quick aside, I hope you've made that decision to follow Jesus. Jesus died for the sins of the world, but he died for you individually as well. He offers salvation to anyone who wants it. It's not automatic just by coming to church, even coming to church for many years. It's not automatic because you're a good person, you're the best person in your neighborhood or your job or whatever. It's not an automatic thing. We don't earn our salvation. But a decision to follow Jesus, to confess him as Lord. He died for you and he rose again. And he offers this gift of salvation. And if you don't have it, during the last song, there'll be a couple of prayer team members up here, and I'll be around. And if you want to talk after the service or get a hold of me, contact me this week. I would love to tell you about Jesus. Everything else is secondary if I get to do that with you. So if you want the Cliff Notes of the Bible, there it is in verse 23. That's what God wants from you. That is why you exist. That's why he created you. And that's why you just took another breath. To have Jesus in your life, to love God through him, and to love other people. Love God, love people. Loving other people is more than words. I think John has established that here. Because real love means taking action. Drop down to verse 24 again. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him. And that's another way of saying has a relationship with him. So he lives in him and he in them. See, this two-way relationship. And this is how we know, not feel, this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Now, John's really driving this home here. He wants us to keep God's commands. That's what God wants from us. And then when you keep his commands, that's one of the ways you know you are part of God's family and that he lives in you. When you come to know Jesus, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to live in you. That's kind of hard for us to really understand that God is living in us. And I think that sometimes, maybe this is just me, I don't know if you could relate to this, but you kind of forget that maybe the Holy Spirit literally lives in you according to Jesus. And therefore, we kind of forget about the Holy Spirit sometimes. And I get it. It is a hard concept that God lives in me. Wow. But Jesus said that he would send the Holy Spirit to all believers. So if you know Jesus, you're in a true relationship with him, you have the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to you. Holy Spirit is there to guide you, but he will never force you to do anything you don't want to do. Sometimes I wish the Holy Spirit would force me to do a few things that I might have little trouble areas here and there. But he won't do that. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a love relationship. You'd be a robot and not without free will. You're just a robot. But you can call on the Holy Spirit to help you at any time, to guide you, to show you where you're supposed to go, to all sorts of things, to lead you into God's will. To help you take action in Jesus' name. To love God and to love people. The Holy Spirit, that's why he's there. You can't do that on your own. I can't do that on my own, but we can all do it with the Holy Spirit living in us. Real love means taking action. Now let's circle back to verse 18. That's our first verse we looked at. It's our key verse. So here it is again in the NIV. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And then here it is again in the NLT, which is the one on your card here. 1 John 3:18, NLT. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. The book of 1 John is a relatively short book. It's got 5 chapters. None of them are very long. And in his short book, he uses the word love 31 times. 31 times in this short book. 14 of those times, John uses the noun form of the verb. The other 17 times, he uses it as a verb or the verb form of the word. John wants us to know what love is. He wants us to understand what it is. That's the noun form. And he also wants us to do something about it. That's the verb form of the word. Real love means taking action. John is telling us. 2 real quick stories about love in action. Several years ago, this has been back in 2015, I had been at my church in Illinois for 9.5 years, and we were leaving the church, but not leaving the church totally. We went to be missionaries in Guatemala. They ended up being our supporting church, our sending church. So we get to the last Sunday of, my last Sunday, I should say. And my son at that time had already moved out to California. Our daughter was getting ready to go to college. We had moved out of our house that we'd been in there for 9.5 years as well. There's a lot of changes going on. We're headed to a third world country, had no idea what we were in for, believe me. It was a tough time, you know. It was emotional and to leave the church and leave your town, all those things that you might think you would experience. And some people in the church got together, and they flew my son Logan, our son Logan, over to where we live. So they spent some money. They had to go get him from the St. Louis airport. That's about 3 hours away one way. And they brought him there. And so we were, as a family, on our last day at that church. And when you think about it, nobody had nothing to gain from that. I wasn't going to be the pastor the very next day. And they just did it out of love. Now, Rocky mentioned Dean a while ago, Dean Loganbill. There you are. And Dean and Lindsay, who's his daughter, sitting next to him. Rocky mentioned they went over and got the soon-to-be directors, or that they'll be transitioning into leadership at, at Life Change Camp. And to say these folks had a little rough go of getting over here is putting it lightly. That's what I wanted to say. They had some trouble before, and then Dean and Lindsay decided, well, let's go get them. We'll help them out. They need help. They drive all the way to Nevada. It was almost to California, right? Practically. It was in California. All right, you finally got to go to California. Some of it's not all it's cracked up to be, but some of it's great. Anyway, Dean and Lindsay went over there. Took them several days because this is, you know, halfway across the country. And they brought these folks back. And they had their truck broke down. They had some things to deal with too. But they did this out of love. They have nothing to personally gain from doing that. And that's love in action. And I know I could come up with many, many stories from Bethel here. I'm not trying to raise anybody up and leave people out, but that's an example. You can't love too much. Right now, would you think of the relationships you have? Because your circle of relationships is different than mine and different than the person sitting next to you, even if you're married to them or related to them. We all have these different relationships in our lives. Some are Christian and within this church, maybe another church, and some are non-Christian. You know, the relationships you have at work, at school, the clubs that you might be part of, or sports teams. You have a lot of relationships. As you think of those relationships, how can you love more this week? How can you express the love of Christ more in those relationships this week? It can be something simple as a kind word, a text, a card in the mail, or maybe something big that God leads you to do. What do the people around you need? What do they need? What are you going to do about it? This morning, I'd like to take a few seconds and ask the Holy Spirit to show you something you can do to put this into action so we're not just nodding at the sermon. It was a good sermon. I hope it was anyway. And then we go home. But what could you do about this? So if the Holy Spirit brings something into your mind, it might be in the next few minutes, but it might be on the way home or tomorrow. But I would encourage you, if he brings something to mind, do it. I'll give you just I'll pray, and then I'll give you a few seconds to reflect with the Holy Spirit, and then I'll pray for all of us at the end. Real love means taking action. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you move and speak in these next few moments. I pray that as my friends think about the relationships they have, that you would bring something to mind, whether it's now or some other time this week, but you would bring something to mind that they can reflect your love better to those around them. Oh, Father, we take a few moments and do that now, in Jesus' name.
Church, don't make it complicated. Don't make it harder than it really is. Let's find ways you can love more. You can never do that too much. Let's go to the Lord again. Father, on faith, I believe that you are speaking to people, that you are leading people. Holy Spirit, fill us new every day and show us how we can reflect you and be the church wherever we are. I thank you, God, for the opportunities that you bring us. Help us to take those opportunities and to recognize that you've ordained those times. Help us to do these things this week. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.